May 22nd, 2021, so watch for B-Row Show. for Pedro Show. Happy Saturday. Start out with John Coltrane, Theme for Ernie. Then Lanterna, Backyards. Brother Matt, still the Love Grotto and the Pleasure Point a couple miles south, quarantine on mode. But I'm not totally man alone because those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention. I got Brother Henry Frayne with me from Champaign, Illinois. Welcome aboard, Henry.
Thank you.
Home of Mabel's.
Yes.
I remember the Minutemen once playing there. And you're right about that load up in the back with the wood stairs. But the REO, there's a band from that town, right? Star Castle and maybe Adrian Ballou, too. But anyway, it was snowing out. And this guy had a headband on, was sweating. I think he was the roadie that didn't lift anything for that man. We later on, D. Boone had the trippiest scene, seeing him sing, talking to the singer. The singer came and saw us play in the valley here. Can't remember his name, sorry. But let's talk about you, Henry, and your journey through music. Please bring your earliest musical recollection.
I've been thinking about it a lot recently. Things like maybe my dad picking up a copy of Yellow Submarine at Salvation Army. He is a big classical music fan, so he's always buying records and was buying records back in the 70s. But he always used to pick up things because I think we did actually go to see the movie in the theaters. But having that half a side of Beatles, some of the sort of oddest and best Beatles tracks was sort of one of my earliest memories of sort of pop music, since there wasn't a lot in the house, although did have an AM radio. So me and my brother were definitely tuning into, you know, pop radio and local college radio here in Champaign.
Right. University of Illinois, doctor school, right?
It's kind of an all, you know, it's a, one of the state universities, so it's everything engineering, but also, you know, liberal arts, and it's a sprawling, you know, everybody seems to work there.
It's got a sister town, Urbana, and, the kind of the trippiest colors, I think blue and orange or something. And the funny thing, it ain't funny, it's tragic, but they named the basketball team after the Illini, and there's no Illini left. It means up the river. I learned that from people in Arkansas, because the Illinois River, Arkansas means down the river. And there was a place where these guys actually later on it turned into a mafia thing with bathhouses. They called Bathhouse Rose. No fighting, right? In this area. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what I learned. You realize the movie Yellow Submarine, that ain't their voices.
I realize that. I always think about the chaps who did voice the Beatles, and, you know, sort of that kind of, yeah, that was me. It is the Beatles at the very end that Blue Meanies have been sighted within, you know, near this theater. Well, of course, you see them on video or film as well at the very end of the film. But yeah, I know that's them singing, though. I think.
Well, yeah, song. Yeah. That's their music.
Except
and
Paul,
stuff.
Of course.
Of course. Because she was the walrus. Now, so you're saying there's no instruments in the pad you grew up, Henry?
Let's see. Violin lessons, and then piano. A big Kimball baby grand piano was in the house. And just violin and piano didn't stick. My grandfather played the zither, but he was out in New Jersey. So although I have two zithers now, I have not yet to learn how to play them. But back in the 70s, no, nothing. It was really the late 70s. A friend of mine had his father had a beautiful Yamaha, acoustic that he sort of worked on guitars and amps and pipe organs. And he had taken off the Yamaha from the, he'd sanded it off and then refinished it. So sort of this blank guitar for some reason. But I remember, you know, that guitar, having it around my friend's house, was just like, wow, that's really, that's something I'd really like to try out. And it was 1978 and I was buying a lot of music. So, you know, it was just sort of inevitable that eventually I would try to get guitar lessons or, you know, get a guitar.
But you got to play that guitar.
Yeah, just, you know, but I didn't, it was one of those things, you know, I was like, well, I really don't know how to play. It was just sort of, so I wasn't going to be one of those self-taught musicians. I really, in the fall of 78, it was calling the First National Guitar Store, just like, and signing up for lessons. So it was kind of, I had a feeling like, oh, I got to do it that way.
And what was the first stuff you learned, Henry?
I was probably, you know, my guitar teacher was really into jazz. I mean, he was a real, and so, you know, I know he was a voice major at the U of I, but also playing, you know, jazz guitar. And, it was kind of an odd fit because, of course, I wanted to know how to play, you know, More Than a Feeling or, you know, Roundabout or, so, you know, we bumped along for about a year and a half or two and, but, his influence was really, you know, really important. And I'm actually kind of ran into him a couple years ago. He lives out of state now, but it was really good to, you know, to know he's still playing and, you know, sort of definitely had a good influence on me, I think.
So when I asked you what you first learned, because me and D Boom, when we were first learning, we try to copy songs off records. So that's, I'm asking you.
Yeah. So I definitely, you know, had someone showing me how to, you know, play, my guitar teacher. But yeah, there was that first trying to learn stuff off records. And, you know, I mean, there's so much and it was so hard at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. Remember, get this, Henry. I tried to learn bass off an 8-track where you couldn't fucking pick up the needle.
It'll come around again.
Don't worry. It'll come around.
I remember having one of my brother's college friends, you know, as I was excited about learning how to play guitar. I mean, he was just like, don't try to learn how to play a Yes song. I mean, it's all, you know, certainly there is a guitar part in there, but it's, you know, it's all part of something else. So I think he was one of the ones who maybe, you know, showed me how to play Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You by Led Zeppelin, or sort of that beginnings of that. So it's hard to remember the actual first songs, but once I started to figure out stuff off of records, it definitely did a lot of it. One thing, I mean, you know, as you're talking about it, there are some songs that still are complete mysteries to me on how they're played, except for with YouTube now, of course, you can go somewhere and, but I mean, one of them was Monkey Man by the Stones.
Good song.
I mean, how is that actually, it's just, there's certain songs that even today.
It's got a good rhythm, huh?
And it's just sort of, it's such a distinctive that it's like, is that really Keith or did he really, how did he come up with that?
I mean, it sounds like he's playing piano on the guitar. Yeah, it's like a piano part. It's great. I don't know if he was doing the 5-string thing that he learned from Mike Cooter yet, but incredible guitar. So yeah. What a cat to be inspired. But one of the reasons I'm asking that question, because you obviously went on to be a composer and write your own music. So I'm wondering where that started.
You know, in high school, most people have that one song they wrote, you know, or their first song that they took carry around to other. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of people are that way. I was in a band with a high school friend, Eric Stenzel, a drummer. And our band was Tommy Shocker and the Deviates. We only played one show, New Year's Eve, 1980. But
how was that gig? Was it a success?
It was a pretty good show. We were followed by Edna Skoog, and they kind of brought the house down. And I think they were friends of the people having the party. So Tommy Shocker went over okay, I would say.
Was Tommy Shocker that gig your first one?
Yeah, that was pretty much the first sort of, you know, hey, we're loading up and we're going and setting up. And our bass player, nothing against bass players, but our bass player just didn't show up. So
I'm against that.
Mark Fredericks from Edna Skoog had to sit in. And, of course, he knew the songs that we were. We didn't do the original song that I was carting around at the time. But That was the first band. The second band was a few months later. I answered an ad in the paper or something and that band was Lodestone Destiny, which went on to be a very heavy local band. And I was only in it for the very beginning, when we were still playing Queen covers and things like that. But, we did do my song in that band, Lodestone Destiny. Ain't Got No Fiery was the song, kind of a instrumental riff song.
I want to play Monticello. Well, how do you pronounce it? Monticello?
Monticello.
Monticello, okay. Yeah, because the one up in New York where I play with the Stooges, they say Monticello. But yeah. The one on the back of the nickel where Tommy Jefferson's domed house, that's what he called it, right?
A guard in a hospital, no laughs at God in a war, no one's laughing at God when they're starving, freezing, or so very poor. No one laughs at God when the doctor calls after some routine tests. No one's laughing at God when it's gotten real late and the kid's not back from that party yet. Laughs at God when their airplane starts to uncontrollably shake. No one's laughing at God when they see the one they love hand in hand with someone else in the hope that they're mistaken. No one laughs at God when the cops knock on their door and they say, "We've got some bad news, sir." No one's laughing at God when there's a famine, fire, or flood. But God can be funny at a cocktail party when listening to a good God themed joke. Or when the crazy said he hates us and they get so red in the head you think they're about to choke. And God can be funny when told he'll give you money if you just pray the right way. When presented like a genie who does magic like Houdini, grants wishes like Jiminy Cricket and Santa Claus. God can be so hilarious. Ha ha. No one laughs at God in a hospital. No one laughs at God in a war. No one's laughing at God when they lost all they've got and they don't know what for. No one laughs at God on the day they realize that the last sight they'll ever see is a pair of hateful eyes. No one's laughing at God when they're saying their goodbyes. But God can be fun at a cocktail party when listening to a good God themed joke. Or when the crazy said he hates us and they get so red in the head you think you're about to choke. And God can be funny when told he'll give you money if you just pray the right way. When presented like a genie who does magic like Houdini, grants wishes like Jiminy Cricket and Santa Claus. God can be so hilarious. No one laughs at God in a hospital. No one laughs at God in a war. No one laughs at God in a hospital. No one laughs at God in a war. No one's laughing at God in a hospital. No one's laughing at God in a war. No one's laughing at God when they're starving or freezing or so very. No one's laughing at God. No one's laughing at God. No one's laughing at God. We're all laughing with God. Thank you.
through the fallout or care that's left behind. Saw my fading reflection in the river and dry. Till I pass through this valley, it's hard to be. So mostly I just sit here waiting. For the avalanche of fear to fill my stomach full of air. And I'm throwing up my hair. On the castle of despair. What comes next, they fail to mention all the crimes that be. I heard it from my lawyer. He's got a billboard. And his name's Robert. And the avalanche of fear fills my stomach full of air.
Walk for Pedro show, that chunk of music. Started off with Lanterna, Monticello Farm. Then brand new from Kishibashi, Laughing With. Also brand new from Sarah Oswald and Felder Melder, Volcanic Meditation Walks. From Iowa City, SLWCCY. This is a collab I got going with Sam Locke Ward. Fleeting Are the Times is the name of the tune. Just Trading Files. I've never actually met Sam. The myriad ones after that from Dubuque, Iowa. Let's Take Care of Each Other. Not too far, right? The Quad Cities, you guys share. I know it's the west part of the state, but. Obama's Printing after that, D.C. area, Gleep. Albert DeMuth from San Diego here. Halo, and then Audit after that. Sorry, excuse me. Mirabal, and that's guy's brother. High Quick Crack by Witty. And then finally Laterna with Redwoods. Or I think their native name is Sequoia. You know them Sequoias are the oldest living thing on the planet. They're like 1,000 years old.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible.
We call them redwood because termites. Let's build houses on this because the termites won't eat. We're killing like the oldest things. Anyway, we don't need any commentary there. Okay, so Lodestone. What were they? Lodestone.
Lodestone Destiny.
Destiny. I'm sorry.
I'm sure they're no.
I'm sorry, but no. But your tenure. I mean, they were liberal. I mean, open minded enough to do your tune and stuff to squeeze it in there with the Queen covers. I remember me and D. Boone trying to learn "Tie Your Mother Down." Add some Chuck Berry to it.
You know,
a lot of rock and roll in those days. Even Sex Pistols. God, you listen to that. Bullock's record. So, how long is your tenure there, Henry?
Just a couple of months. Sort of rehearsed with them, and you know, as I say, they were just starting. I did meet the bass player who was also kind of joining at the same time. Kevin Merrifield went on to played with him a lot, and he is now a web designer and such. So I'm still working with him in Lanterna. But the two of us, Kevin and myself, were in Lodestone Destiny for only a short period of time until the band sort of got heavy and started playing out. And I've been meaning to ask, you know, the guys if they ever did any studio stuff or, you know, recorded, because they were definitely one of the Mabel's bands when there was a lot of, you know, a lot of metal nights and things like that. So, but I was only with them for a short time. And
then what,
you know,
was next for you?
After that, I was still in high school, and I did get together with two other guys, and you know, my senior year, for some reason we picked up that double Yardbirds, that green cover greatest hits record, and some other a garage band compilation record. It just sort of totally got immersed into, you know, garage rock. And, you know, even though it was 1981, 82, we were just sort of, you know, even though we were listening to what was going on around us, we were really, you know, playing Kinks covers and The Who and some writing our own stuff.
I remember those days. I mean, there was a big revival with the Pebbles and Nuggets thing.
Yes. And I was going to say, I mean, maybe jumping to just not my... my first show, but there's a band from Champaign called the Vertebrates, and their guitarist went to the same high school. Most of the guys in the band were older, out of college, but there was one sophomore from my high school who sort of joined this band, and they were on that Battle of the Garages, the Bomp Records, I think.
Great job, Bomp Records.
Yeah, and
also put out some Stooges stuff.
Yeah, I've seen they've had a lot of compilations or CD. They finally, you know, started putting out some compilations and such.
Some of those Pebbles and Nuggets, they're mastered right off the 45s. There's no tapes.
Yeah, yeah. If you're lucky, you know, there's. I mean,
I try to tell people about this. The punk movement was actually for our age, because that shit was actually going on in the 60s, because, you know, I did 125 months with Stooges, so these guys told me there was little labels, there was garage bands. It just got forgotten with arena rock.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it goes back. It is so interesting to think back to that time that we lived through, and then when it first started to be kind of categorized and like, oh, well, you know, this is when punk happened, and this is when a new, you know, new wave then started.
It's ridiculous. So do you make another band, or do you join another band?
Oh, what's that? When?
After the Lodestone Destiny.
I guess this next band was The Syndicate, and that was in high school and sort of the first year out of high school. And it was my first real, you know, band. We rehearsed for about 9 months, it seems, and finally got a show at the Channing Murray Foundation over in Urbana, a place where, you know, with a history of, you know, folk, I think, who comes from here? Dan Fogelberg maybe was a U of I student and played in the basement. And so the Channing Murray, this coffee shop, was kind of a place for young bands to play that couldn't play at Mabel's yet. And so The Syndicate was about 2 years of my early college. And we did write some originals. It was my first sort of, you know, trying to bang together songs, not lyrics, obviously, that was my first real band experience, rehearsing, you know, not studying, not doing, you know, schoolwork and stuff like that, and then putting kind of everything into the band.
And it was a trio?
It was a trio, but we had a drummer. It was bass, and guitar, two guitars and drums, and we was probably 8 or 9 or 10 drummers who played with us over time. And that's probably one of the reasons why we never quite got gelled or got anywhere.
Did they keep exploding? Was it a spinal tapping?
It just, you know, they just, you know, went on to other things.
No, and, it's hard to find a good drummer, man. You got to be committed, right? You got all that gear. I mean, love drums.
Yeah, no, drums are incredible. Just right. to keep that beat for an entire song makes me.
And it's, you know, Georgie from Minutemen, he told me, balancing on your tailbone while every fucking limb is moving. That's what he told me.
Yeah, I'm amazed that people can do it and keep doing it as they get older and older, because it is such a physical thing. Yeah. Some of my.
And I saw, you know, Elvin Jones in his 70s and stuff with a tank, you know, for oxygen. Look, we're at the end of the first hour. May 22nd, 2021, Dish Watch Pedro Show, special guest Henry Frain. Hold tight for hour two. May 22, 2021, it's the second hour of the Watch Pedro Show.
We make
for Pedro Show. Second hour, start off with Lanterna, 1995. Public record after that with Occupy This Hidden Track. Arubu Abua with Sonhai Que Escavava. That's in Portuguese here. Amo Uma Vala. A Clear Path from Heinbach. Lucas Abella. New Robe. Mickey Sanker. Move It. And finally, B Minor from Lanterna. So how long is the syndicate search for a drummer, man?
It wasn't a search. I mean, we found and then we lost and we found again.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Okay.
So it really kind of took us some time, and we pretty much, you know, played with a lot of drummers in the Champaign area, and eventually kind of things ran. Of course, I don't know, you know, there was a time when you, early for me playing in bands, you sort of wonder, boy, you know, is that it? You know, is there another opportunity, you know, or is this, how am I going to meet another bunch of fellas to play with? And so I'm sure that happens a lot, and you wonder, just not going to play any more music.
And then you were just talking about quitting school and everything to do music, too.
Or sort of not attending to school as much. So I, during this period, I was at the community college here, Parkland, and I was at the U of I. So it took me a number of years to get through college, and so I did sort of stick with it. But I was playing in a couple bands. After the syndicate was kind of a year of kind of floating around and just playing with, jamming with folks, but. So the most important early experience was answering an ad for a local band called ACAC was looking for a guitarist. Their original guitarist had left. And in the fall of 84, I answered the ad. I tried out with them twice, and I got accepted. And it was a sort of the beginning of ACAC was a band. They were into group composition, so they would rehearse, you know, every night of the week almost, and, you know, write songs in the band. No one would be bringing in songs necessarily. It was all sort of hammering stuff out. So for about 2 years, it was my first experience really, you know, writing with a band, and it was a very kind of thrilling experience. Intense, but thrilling.
Now, did ACAC record?
Yes, we did a 7-inch, and we did a 3-song EP, and we did some various recordings. And, you know, when folks ask me about the years between Lanterna's Desert Ocean, 2006, and Backyards, 2015, I was doing a lot of archival work on some of ACAC and some of the other bands I've played in. And there is a collection of songs for ACAC, hopefully around the corner, we're going to try and put out.
Yeah, you should have gave me one so I could have played it for you.
Sorry. It's,
no, it's okay. It's all Lanterna. And
yeah.
You know what? We're going to get to that story. Is Lanterna much down the road from ACAC?
Yeah, so I should probably jump a couple bands. And
No. It's okay. You can put it in there. I'm just wondering, because all the material you gave me was Lanterna. In fact, I love this title, Chagrin Boulevard. Is there an actual road called that?
You know, when I go to Maine the summers and sometime in the winters, just driving through, I'm not sure if it's Pennsylvania, New York, there is an exit for Chagrin Boulevard.
Okay.
And but, you know the band Renaissance, Keith Relf,
sure,
and
his
sister. And, you search for song titles now when you write something. I mean, it doesn't matter if someone else has one. But
that's right, because you can't copyright a song title.
Yeah, so it's okay, but I noticed that Renaissance, as they moved from folk prog in the 80s, they kind of put out their somewhat pop album, and they have a song called Chagrin Boulevard too, which is okay. I don't know what their song is about. Of course, mine doesn't have lyrics, so it's it was just sort of seemed right for that kind of.
Oh man, I've Tom Herman, after Perubu, made a band, Tripod Jimmy, and he had a song called Autumn Leaves. But it ain't the autumn leaves that me and you know. right? The big sentimental kind of set. Yeah, this was like, you got to do what you got to do, you know, over and over, some almost military. Here, I want to place you again, a Boulevard.
job at Fedmark. Sell garden hose.
it's the title is the thing. And I've worked with some, you know, people who can write lyrics, and have been very grateful that, you know, people know how to string words together. But so, for Lanterna, it's always been about, you know, just that, starting point, you know, what is a song title, a way for people to, you know, to start with, you know, when they hear the music.
Can I ask you about the composition? Do you start with the title?
No.
No, because I do. And nobody, I ask this question all the time, and nobody starts with the fucking title. But what?
Wow.
So I thought I had a kindred spirit there for a while, for a moment.
No, I've never, there's always a demo, you know, just a demo title, which, in different bands, I mean, once in a while, the demo title lives through even when, someone writes lyrics to it, you know, the demo title stays. But I don't know that I've ever, set out, you just played 1995, and yeah. I, on the first Lanterna, there was a song called 1985, sort of the year after 1984. And, on Sands, I did an acoustic song called, 1975. And so, years later, I was thinking, well, might as well, you know, 1995 was kind of written, in the mid 90s. So I do have an opening for maybe someday, maybe in 1965, maybe in 2005, but it might be too obvious.
Look, let's get to Lanterna. Now you say there's a couple bands between ACK-ACK and Lanterna. Do they have big consequence?
Yeah, definitely. Cause I, in ACK-ACK, I did, you know, the members of the band, Lynn Canfield was the keyboardist, and, Brendan Gamble, joined as the drummer, for ACK-ACK. And, you know, I would, in the next 15 years, after ACK-ACK, I moved on to a band called Area with a local record company keyboard, guy named Steve Jones, and Lynn Canfield, now singing, and we were a band called Area, and that was about 5 years, put out a few records, and through after Area formed the Moon Seven Times with Lynn Canfield and Brendan Gamble, a drummer from ACK-ACK, and bass player Don Gerard, and so those ACK-ACK, Area, and Moon Seven Times were very important. And strangely, Moon Seven Times was for most of the 90s. And as Moon Seven Times was starting, I also curiously started this sort of side project just to kind of write some longer songs, even though the Moon Seven Times were pretty, you know, 5-minute songs, 6-minute songs. Maybe Lanterna was for even longer songs. Brendan Gamble and I got together to record the first side project, which became Lanterna. And so Lanterna was kind of running concurrent with the Moon Seven Times through the 90s, although I kept releasing that first. I did a 90-minute cassette, and then it was released in Greece as a vinyl record. And then Parasol here in Urbana picked it up for a CD, and then Rykodisc reissued it in 1998. So I did one recording as Lanterna and then just kept releasing it for most of the 90s until the Moon Seven Times stopped recording, and I decided I better do a second Lanterna. And that the song B minor that you played, that was from the second Lanterna record, Elm Street. So I finally kind of at the end of the 90s got on with kind of continuing with my quote side project, which I still kind of consider it, even though it's pretty much my main project.
Yeah, interesting. You never know how things are going to turn out, you know?
No, as I said, you know, there were a bunch of times in there, you know, after ACK-ACK, I was like, wow, that was intense. I don't know if I'm going to do anything. And, you know, the guy from Office Records, Steve Jones, calls me and says, you know, hey, there's this band, Lynn is singing. You know, you want to join us on guitar? And, you know, boom, we were off for a couple years. And then wow. The same thing, the Moon Seven Times.
We're at the end of the second hour, May 22, 2021, Dish Wap Peter Show, special guest, Henry Frayne. Hold tight for hour three. May 22nd, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watch for Pete Rose.
Mm-hmm. supervillain, superhero. Those are just labels, man.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. We start off the third hour. Lana Turner doing Hidden Drives. And Crane with the People of Crime. Cheer Accident. Chicago. Blue Seattle. Probably saying that fucking wrong. Sorry. Psychic Hotline after that. Tension. Sean Lennon with Love Life and Cupola. Lana Turner. So the first Lana Turner recording, it's with other people or you, man alone?
First Lana Turner recording was... instrumentally was with drummer Brendan Gamble playing the drums, and I played everything else. The first Lana Turner recording did some collaborations. Brendan Gamble and I wrote maybe six of the songs, and Lynn Canfield from Moon Seven Times and Area wrote lyrics for one of the songs, which I sang. And after the first Lana Turner record, I sort of just focused on writing sort of on my own. And most of the Lana Turner records are with just me and a drummer. So for most of the records starting in 2004, it's Eric Jabot, a Chicagoan. He is actually in Blue Man Group. He's one of the Blue Men, but he's also sort of a drum kit drummer as well. And I've luckily been able to perform live with him and also have him come down to Champaign for the various records, Desert Ocean Highways and this one, Hidden Drives. And it's just wonderful to get a little bit of his time to have him.
Yeah, beautiful. Come down. But Harry, yeah. I'm hearing bass. Are you working the bass?
Oh, yes, I am. I mean, it's almost, because I can, if the guitar parts are done, the echoey guitar and acoustic, I've never considered myself a bass player, but I do love playing those swooping bass parts. And
all right.
You just played Cupola, and yeah. I'd meant almost on the... on the album notes to remember two of my favorite bass players who are unfortunately no longer with us. One was Ed Gagliardi from Foreigner, the first bass player, really. And
I saw that band that when they were a four-man group. They opened up for Emerson, Lang & Palmer, and they had an intense version of All Too Much.
Wow.
Of George Harrison. Yeah, they were actually a prog band. Journey, Greg Rowley, right? He was singing. The organ man was singing, who was with Carlos Santana before that.
Yes, yes, and then...
No, or am I thinking Journey? You said Foreigner?
Yeah, Foreigner. But
okay, they got Steve Jones, but another Steve Jones in the Sex Pistols. I'm sorry for confusing you, Henry. Let's talk about this new Lana Turner record. How's it different than the other guys?
It kind of... when I started to put together the songs, it was a big batch of songs that just hadn't been finished through the years. Like Cupola was just sort of wasn't quite had the sort of the airy guitar parts, but I wasn't sure what to do with the middle section, and so a bunch of the songs were just like, I'm gonna finish this these songs finally, and I kind of sat down and really worked at it and finally came up with, all the different parts. Chagrin Boulevard, as I've said in the notes, was just at the end of a song cassette or a song ideas cassette, and it was just sort of half the song, and then the tape ran out. And so for years I'd been listening to that thinking, oh yeah, I know how the rest of it goes. And of course I didn't or really couldn't, but I finally kind of listened to the cassette and imagined finishing the song, and I did. So this new album was definitely kind of songs that reach back to, 1995 and before, possibly. And so it's not new material necessarily. It's
old compositions. But now the recordings were more recent, though, right?
Yeah, the recordings all kind of came together 2016 to 2020, definitely record everything in the modern era. This is the first record. I was a big Tascam 8-track, half-inch analog.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The first Lanterna was recorded on that. And it seems like every Lanterna record, the other six records, all had at least one song that was sort of still floating around and that I transferred from the 8-track. But I think this new... Hidden Drives is different, that I don't think I pulled anything from the old Tascam A-Track. So I guess it's a new era kind of leaving, although I still have it fired up and I'm still trying to transfer some tapes. This Hidden Drives was definitely kind of all digital.
And where was it done? At home? You got your own little studio there, but besides the 8-track?
Yeah, for about 20 years, I've been working with Mike Brosco. He lives, he had a studio in Champaign, Southwest Champaign, and then he moved to Mahomet, which is pretty nearby, and set up his studio there. And since he's kind of always on the move, he decided to move back to Champaign now and bring his studio back to Champaign. So for 20 years, I've been kind of moving with him. And starting with Highways, I've recorded all the records with him. And Mike Brosco is just, you know, to have him sitting at the mixing desk, and he also does a lot of that. You know, he just takes my notes and kind of affects them and does stuff in the background. So he's really a lot of the stuff you hear, like on Chagrin Boulevard or Redwoods, you know, is stuff that he's just been able to, it's all in his mixing and manipulating. So he's been a really important part. He, along with Eric Jabot, the drummer, have been really important. Mike Brosco played in a band with Louis Simon called Proof of Utah.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of a Recommended Records, sort of a very odd band from Champaign, but they had
odd
some
is good.
Some European connections, and you know, definitely something that got out and about.
Yeah, the Art Bears. That's what I remember from Champaign. The Art Bears.
Oh, the Bears, yeah, definitely.
The Bears, Adrian Ballou, right?
Yeah, he came here for a period, sort of the middle of the 80s.
Oh, okay, he just kept with here a little bit. Okay, I want to play Summer Break.
花咲かじいさん。昔昔あるところにおじいさんとおばあさんがいました。正直な人のいいおじいさんとおばあさんでしたけれど、子供がないので飼い犬のシロを本当の子供のように可愛がっていました。シロもおじいさんとおばあさんにそれはよく懐いていました。お隣にもおじいさんとおばあさんがいました。この方は欲張りなおじいさんとおばあさんでした。ですからお隣のシロを憎らしがって、汚らしがって、いつもいつも意地の悪いことばかりしていました。ある日、正直おじいさんがいつものように桑を担いで畑を掘り返していますと、シロも一緒についてきて、そこらをくんくん嗅ぎ回っていましたが、ふとおじいさんの裾をくわえて、畑の隅の大きなえのきの木の下まで連れて行って、前足で土をかき立てながら、ここ掘れ、ワンワン、ここ掘れ、ワンワン、と泣きました。なんだなんだ、とおじいさんは言いながら、くわを入れてみますと、カチリと音がして、穴の底でキラキラ光るものがありました。ずんずん掘っていくと、小判がたくさん出てきました。おじいさんはびっくりして、大きな声でおばあさんを呼んで、えんやらえんやら小判をうちの中へ運び込みました。正直なおじいさんとおばあさんは、急にお金持ちになりました。すると、お隣の欲張りおじいさんが、それを聞いて大変羨ましがって、早速城を借りに来ました。正直おじいさんは、人がいいものですから、うっかり城を貸してやりますと、欲張りおじいさんは嫌がる白の首に縄をつけてぐんぐん畑の方へ引っ張って行きました。俺の畑にも小判が埋まっているはずだ。さあどこだどこだと言いながら余計強く引っ張りますと白は苦しがってやたらにそこらの土を引っかきました。欲張りおじいさんは、うん、ここか、閉めたぞ、閉めたぞ、と言いながら、掘り始めましたが、掘っても、掘っても、出てくるものは、石ころや瓦のかけらばかりでした。それでも構わず、やたらに掘って行きますと、ぷんと臭い匂いがして、汚いものがうじゃうじゃ出てきました。欲張りおじいさんは、臭いと叫んで鼻を押さえました。そうして腹立ち紛れにいきなり桑を振り上げて、白の頭へ打ち下ろしますと、かわいそうに白は一声、キャンと泣いたきり、死んでしまいました。正直おじいさんとおばあさんは後でどんなに悲しがったでしょう。けれども死んでしまったものは仕方がありませんから涙をこぼしながら白の死骸を引き取ってお庭の隅に穴を掘って丁寧にうずめてやってお墓の代わりに小さい松の木を一本その上に植えました。するとその松がみるみる育っていって、やがて立派な大木になりました。 これは白の形見だ。こうおじいさんは言って、その松を切って、臼をこしらえました。そうして、白はお餅が好きだったから、と言って、臼の中にお米を入れて、おばあさんと二人で、ペンタラコッコ、ペンタラコッコ、とつき始めますと、不思議なことに、いくらついてもついても、後から後からお米が増えて、みるみる臼にあふれて、外にこぼれ出して、やがて台所いっぱいお米になってしまいました。すると、今度もお隣の欲張りおじいさんとおばあさんが、それを知って羨ましがって、またずうずうしく臼を借りに来ました。人のいいおじいさんとおばあさんは、今度もうっかり臼を貸してやりました。臼を借りると早速欲張りおじいさんは、臼の中にお米を入れて、おばあさんを相手に、ペンタラコッコ、ペンタラコッコ、とつき始めましたが、お米が湧き出すどころか、今度もぷんと嫌な匂いがして、中からうじゃうじゃ汚いものが出てきて、臼にあふれて、外にこぼれ出して、やがて台所いっぱい汚いものだらけになりました。欲張りおじいさんは、また癇癪を起こして、臼を叩き壊して、薪にして、燃してしまいました。正直おじいさんは、臼を返してもらいに行きますと、灰になっていましたから、びっくりしました。でも、燃してしまったものは仕方がありませんから、がっかりしながら、ザルの中に残った灰をかき集めて、しおしお家へ帰りました。おばあさん、白の松の木が灰になってしまったよ。こう言っておじいさんは、お庭の隅の白のお墓のところまで灰を抱えて行って巻きますと、どこからかスースー暖かい風が吹いてきて、パッと灰をお庭いっぱいに吹き散らしました。するとどうでしょう。そこらに枯れ木のまま立っていた梅の木や桜の木が灰をかぶるとみるみる花が咲いて、よそはまだ冬のさなかなのに、おじいさんのお庭ばかりはすっかり春景色になってしまいました。おじいさんは手をたたいて喜びました。これは面白い。ついでにいっそ、方々の木に花を咲かせてやりましょう。そこでおじいさんは、ザルに残った灰を抱えて、花咲かじじい、花咲かじじい、日本一の花咲かじじい、枯れ木に花を咲かせましょう。と言いながら、往来を歩きました。すると、向こうから殿様が馬に乗って、大勢家来を連れて狩りから帰ってきました。殿様はおじいさんを呼んで、ほう、珍しいじじいだ。ではそこの桜の枯れ木に花を咲かせてみせよ、と言いつけました。おじいさんは早速ザルを抱えて桜の木に登って、金の桜さらさら、銀の桜さらさら、と言いながら灰をつかんで振りまきますと、みるみる花が咲き出して、やがて一面桜の花盛りになりました。殿様はびっくりして、 これは見事だ、これは不思議だ、と言っておじいさんを褒めてたくさんご褒美をくださいました。するとまたお隣の欲張りおじいさんがそれを聞いて羨ましがって残っている灰をかき集めてざるに入れて正直おじいさんの真似をして、花咲かじじい、花咲かじじい、日本一の花咲かじじい、枯れ木に花を咲かせましょう、と往来を怒鳴って歩きました。すると今度も殿様が通りかかって、この間の花咲かじじいが来たな。また花を咲かせてみせよ、と言いました。欲張りおじいさんは得意な顔をしながら、灰を入れたザルを抱えて、桜の木に登って、同じように、金の桜、さらさら、銀の桜、さらさら、と唱えながら、やたらに灰を振りまきましたが、一向に花は咲きません。そのうち、どっとひどい風が吹いてきて、灰は遠慮なしに四方八方へ、バラバラバラバラ散って、殿様やご家来の目や鼻の中へ入りました。そこでもここでも、目をこするやら、くしゃみをするやら、頭の毛を払うやら、大変な騒ぎになりました。殿様は大層大怒りになって、偽物の花咲かじじいに違いない、不届きなやつだ、と言って欲張りおじいさんを縛らせてしまいました。おじいさんは、ごめんなさい、ごめんなさい、と言いましたが、とうとう牢屋へ連れて行かれました。
pictures?
Kevin Salemi. He's a Boston, works at Merritt College.
Really good work. So you're consistent. You like working with the same crew.
Yeah, it's really part of making Lanterna Records is kind of getting the recordings together and then sending them off to Kevin and just saying, hey, what have you been photographing lately? And when the Moon Seven Times came to an end, I really wasn't sure what was next. And I said, I had this, the Lanterna record I'd been sitting on and releasing. Kevin Salemi was trying to do a photo book with music, and he was shopping things around, and just by accident, he was the one who found that Ryko Disc deal, because they were, of course, in Salem, Massachusetts.
Right. Yeah, that's where Ryko is. Right.
And so he gave me a call. You know, I was sort of at loose ends, and Kevin Salemi gave me a call and said, hey, you know, there's this record company that's interested in putting out this sort of, you know, photo booklet. And it turned out to be just a regular CD, but it had quite a hefty photo booklet in the CD case. And so Kevin Salemi really kind of got that reissue happening in 1998 and kind of gave me the impetus to record another record.
Opportunity knocks. I should tell the people we heard Summer Break, Lanterna, then Fusan with Hanasakaji-san. Finally, Lanterna, Brightness. Where can people find you on the internet, Henry?
I've been with Badman since 2000, Badman Recording Company. So yeah. BadmanRecordingCo.com is the Badman site, and they have everything. Lanterna is... webpage is lanterna.tv, and of course we're on Facebook and Spotify and
well, there's probably connects at that place there. So lanterna.tv, people go there to get Henry Frame music. It's beautiful. I can't wait to hear it. The next one. I want to thank you so much for being on the show. When you do come out, will you come back on and can we listen to it and talk about it?
Yes.
Thank you so much, Henry. It's been May 22nd, 2021 edition of WAP Peter Show. Keep your powder dry.